I'm Joe Kendrick. Very glad to be interviewing Marky Austin here on WNCW as we approach the 20th anniversary of Arc Overnight. Way back in 1992, a group of folks from Charlotte banded together to improve radio in Charlotte by coming over to Spindale and first bringing the 24-hour format to WNCW. At that time, we had a program called World Alternative, which ended at 4 a.m. in the weekends. But ARC changed all that, made WNCW a 24-hour station for the first time in the fall of 1992. And as we approach October 6th, which is also the first night of our fall fundraiser, we're also going to celebrate the beginnings of ARC in the wee hours with your host, Mad Dog. But today I'm talking with Marky Austin, calling her from Charlotte and asking her about her experiences in those early days of ARC Overnight. Welcome, Marky.
Thank you, Joe. It's nice to be back.
We're going to comb the memory banks here and ask you about those way back years. 20 years happens real fast. But tell us briefly about how it was for you in those early days.
Well, it was really awesome because sort of the culture in Charlotte at that time was there was just not a very good alternate avenue for any kind of music other than Top 40 that was on the radio. And there wasn't a really good college station that really promoted any kind of alternative music. And so I was out at a club one night hearing a band and saw a sign-up table that said, "Are you tired of the music scene in Charlotte? Would you like to have different music selections for your ears, so to speak?" And so I was like, "Yeah, that's awesome." So that's how I got hooked up with ARC. And then through, you know, other people that had the same kind of interest, we approached WNCW about rounding out their format. The problem was that the transmitter at the time wasn't powerful enough to really reach into Charlotte. So while they were willing to train us and give us the airtime to introduce more music to willing ears, you couldn't really get it in Charlotte. So a lot of our focus in the beginning was raising money to try to help WNCW get the money to get a more powerful transmitter that would bump the signal into Charlotte. So in the first days, that was kind of the grassroots approach. Yeah, we want this music. How can we do it? How can we help the radio station? And then once we actually raised the money and helped the station get the transmitter, then they were all about helping to train us to get on the air so that we could actually play the stuff. So it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of talented people that put a lot of effort into it, just all because we loved music. So that is that kind of what you're wanting to know in the beginning?
Yeah, and it's extraordinary in a lot of ways because, one, you were coming from Charlotte to Spindale, which is not exactly a short drive. It's over an hour to stay up at all hours of the night, and you had a pretty good roster of folks. Tell us about some of the folks that you worked with.
Well, you know, in the beginning, there was tons of people that would sign up for it. And so when we would drive up to the station, we were paired up to do our training. And so because of actually the challenges of what you just said, because of the drive and staying up all night, it sort of threw you into, you know, it's a volunteer situation, but it also threw you in sort of vampire mode because you're up all night long and then you got to sleep the next day and then you got to, when you also have to drive back. So as a result of that, a lot of people kind of came and went. So it was kind of us diehard folks that stuck it out for a while. And, you know, and I did it for 5 years, but I know there was people like yourself that stuck around for much, much longer. So, you know, I always brought friends with me, or if I could bring bands to interview up to the station that was willing to come between midnight and 6 a.m. to be on the air, you know, that's what I would always try to do. But for the most part, we were kind of solo working the shifts because of the time frame. So that made it quite interesting.
Yeah, everybody was alone together in a large sense with ARC Overnight, mm-hmm. even the hosts, because mm-hmm. it wasn't like you were passing by each other in the hallways at work during the daytime. You were perhaps listening to each other in the wee hours, but you might not know what this other person looked like until eventually an ARC party would happen and you might go over to Carlos Benanti's house and meet this other person. Tell us a little bit about the music in those days. It was a different territory as far as the musical landscape goes. Alternative was the next big thing. it was mm-hmm. something that was finally breaking out with albums like Nirvana's Nevermind and so on. Mm-hmm. Those were fairly heady days musically.
Yeah, it really was. And I think that's why it was very frustrating because, you know, MTV was a huge factor in promoting new music and back in the early days anyway. And, you know, that was a good source to see stuff and or to get exposed to stuff. And then, of course, you know, as bands came to town and play live, that was a good way. But, you know, and then like I subscribed to CMJ, the music magazine, and they would supply a CD every month with the issue, and you got exposed to really good bands that way, which is how I tried to keep in touch with, you know, stuff to play for the show in addition to what the radio station said was a good choice to play. I think that was just the whole reason why we wanted the radio show, because there were so many awesome new bands coming out of Seattle, coming out of everywhere with this sound, and, you know, it wasn't top 40, it wasn't disco, it wasn't pop, it was just kind of this, just a different kind of sound, and it wasn't really limited to just one genre of music, you know, because there was also like, oh gosh, let me think if I could, you know, like shoegazing and music, and you know, there was the grunge, and there was the all these different lingo that you could describe the different types of sounds. But when I was on the air, I really liked to try to promote the local stuff as well. So not only do we have this wave of underground music that was kind of sweeping over the nation, but that was also influencing people locally. And so it was fun for me to be able to not only meet bands that were playing locally, but be able to see them and talk to them and give them a plug on the air. Or at the time I'd started to see magazines, so I was trying to promote local talent through that as well. So, you know, bands like Athenaeum or The Billies out of Asheville, Ben Folds Five, Dylan Fence, I don't know if you remember the Groovy Cools, Muscadine, 9811, bands, Charlie's on Acid, bands like that that were sort of regional, local type music was a lot of fun to play. But then, you know, on more of a national level, bands like the Lemonheads, Material Issue, you know, that was also a wave of those teeny voice girl bands that became popular, like Frente and Juliana Hatfield, bands like that were the girl-fronted bands were very popular. The Muffs, the Posies, those are other bands that came on board. Buffalo Tom, those kind of bands were just fun, and it had that kind of that new, edgy, gravelly sound that was fun to listen to, if that makes any sense. Toad the Wet Sprocket was another band that I absolutely loved. Counting Crows. And, you know, the thing that was fun for me about being on the show is that when you got exposed to good music, it was exciting to me to be able to recognize the talent in it and to play it and really thoroughly enjoy it even before the masses grabbed onto it. So by the time the masses grabbed onto it, typically I'd moved on to something else. And I could probably say that for most DJs. It's like the excitement was sort of like discovering that pearl in the oyster, you know, that talent, that undiscovered talent, and connecting with it and go, wow, that's really good. You know, I think they're going to be big. And then when they did, you're just kind of like, okay, cool, that rocks. I'm so happy for them. You know? So that was always fun. And then, of course, you can look back on bands like Counting Crows and go, you know, I liked them. I saw them before they were huge and popular. And then, you know, good for them that they made it. So that, to me, that was a huge part in the joy of the music as well.
Yeah, being a tastemaker at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Even if you're the only one, no.
Well, there were people listening, that's for sure. And I've got the ARC book. Before the days of the internet, we kept a three-ring binder with mm-hmm. notebook paper in it to write notes back and forth to each other. And we would do everything, just write about how many calls we got that night or notes on ideas for making ARC better and on and on and on. And I've got the first entry that I see from you, Marky, is from August of 1995, where you're talking about starting C Magazine, which I remember fondly.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun, and I think that, you know, it was just a little zine that floated around Charlotte, but it wasn't focused just on music, but it was on really any kind of talent. It was music covering from symphony to grunge bands to you know, any kind of cultural arts, to art exhibits, to creative writing, to painting, to just anything that was worth checking out in the Charlotte, in the regional area. And a lot of times we would, you know, I always tried to make a point to interview a band and review one of their albums and to make recommendations in there, because obviously music was a love. So if I could share things that I'd found and discovered with other people, that was what I wanted to do. So, but thank you for remembering it.
Well, tell us about what you're up to these days.
Well, personally, I started a business that has nothing to do with music, but it's all about graphics and design. So I've been doing that for about, probably pushing 13 years now, which makes it difficult to go and be on the air again, you know, from midnight to 6 a.m. But, doing that and still love music and still, you know, one thing that I find right now, and I'll give a shameless plug to a friend of mine, but the John Tosco Music Party. That, I think, is an excellent way to stay connected with upcoming bands that are local and regional. And just because the show is a live show that brings out 30 acts, and they're all diverse in their talents. And so they'll come out and play one or two songs. And then at intermission, you can go and you can meet them. You can buy their CDs. So that's just I think that's a wonderful thing that he's doing, and just a really great way to spend the night being entertained and just being exposed to talent that you may not be exposed to in any other type of venue. But I think WNCW has done a great job of putting to the forefront that the bands and the regionals and the acts that have come out of this area and that type of genre of music. They've just done such a good job to being open and to supporting that kind of show and that kind of showcase.
It's all hand in hand. You know, we can't mm-hmm. do it without everybody else, and it all works mm-hmm. towards the same ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marky, it's been wonderful talking with you.
Well, you too, Joe. I hope that, reminiscing down the original early days of ARC has been helpful and brings a smile to people's faces that were listening to it then, because, you know, we just had fun. And we did it. We did the show and still do the show out of complete joy and just love for music. And it just makes me feel like a proud parent that it is still on the air and people are still listening to it, and it still has a wonderful heart and dedication to just bring great alternative music to listening ears. So kudos to you and to WNCW.
We'll keep the radio going at 2 a.m. for you, Marky, if you ever have
okay.
a sleepless night.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marky. Happy anniversary to ARC Overnight.